Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The buzzword in tech circles these days is blockchain. The MIT Tech Review held a conference this week on the business of blockchain. It looked at things like big banks and startups. And if you're wondering, as we were, quite frankly, what is blockchain? Well, we've asked WBUR's Asma Khalid to explain in our weekly Bostonomics segment on the innovation economy. Hi there, Asma.
Hey, Deb.
Okay, so there's a question. What is blockchain?
And it is a very valid question. Okay. So Deb, if you've ever run a business, you're probably familiar with a ledger. It's essentially a list of transactions. It's something that every multinational corporation, every small mom-and-pop sort of mainstream business uses to keep track of expenses. So in the most sort of basic form, a blockchain is a shared digital ledger that'll keep every one of those transactions secure. And advocates say that by having this system digital and public, it makes it easier to prove, track, and sort of trust and audit all of those sales. Blockchain is an interesting technology because it's actually the underlying bit behind Bitcoin. You've probably heard of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It's that form of digital currency that made a splash a few years ago. And I asked Neha Narula about this. She leads the digital currency initiative at the MIT Media Lab. She told me that by looking at Bitcoin, it helped them understand really what was technologically possible.
Bitcoin showed us a way to do secure financial transfer without any trusted third parties, and we just quite simply hadn't seen that before. But, you know, we'd never seen digital money transfer without a bank being involved, and now we see it, and it's pretty cool, and it's given us a lot of ideas for other things we could do.
And so, Deb, Bitcoin itself has kind of had these ups and downs, right, in terms of popularity, but it's the underlying technology, the blockchain, that seems more exciting to a lot of tech experts.
And why exactly is this considered such a significant thing?
Well, you know, as Neha said, it seems like tech people have realized that blockchain can be used for a lot more than just Bitcoin. It has the potential to cut out the middleman and create this digital record that's just sort of in all facets of life. People sort of say you could have this, right? We have no way of digital record keeping at this point. The evangelists of blockchain technology say to me that it will do to the financial system what the internet did for media. And so, you know, that's a pretty bold statement. And you see this kind of appetite. At the conference that I was at, you had everyone from big banks who are already investing in this technology to corporations like Procter & Gamble. You had a lot of different sectors of people within the sort of traditional economic sphere there. And so tech experts say that this can be used for a lot of different ways. It can be used, say, to track diamonds so that fake rocks could be found more easily. It can be used to track tainted pork so that we could have food recalls that would be easier. It would even just sort of allow us to have easier and smoother bank-to-bank transfers. And I asked Brian about this, Brian Bernhoff, I'm sorry. He's involved with this open source hyperledger system that is essentially like sort of an open source blockchain platform.
Now, every example I could give you of where you might use a blockchain, you could come to me and say, well, yeah, couldn't you just leave that up to Google to run for you or Amazon or Uber to run for you? And the answer would be yes. But there's a cost to that trust. And in a world where we trust our institutions less and less, having technologies that help us conduct business and get things done without needing to depend upon central third parties seems ever more important.
And so, Deb, Brian told me that just how the internet revolutionized how we communicate, blockchain will revolutionize transactions, he says, right? Financial transactions, which he admits is probably not as sexy. It's a little bit wonky and harder for people to understand, but he thinks just as transformative.
So make it a little easier then. Where might we see this or sort of the theory behind blockchain in
sure.
use?
So a lot of it's experimentation. You know, one woman told me that it's kind of akin to where the internet was in the 80s. So she said, you know, we're at a point where there's a bunch of nerds, her words, not mine, sitting around at MIT and Berkeley kind of sending emails to one another, meaning it's just at a really experimentation level. But I will say that I asked a couple of people about this, including Amber Balday. She leads the blockchain efforts at JP Morgan, and she said they're really interested from a bank perspective about how they can use this tech behind the scenes.
People feel like when they transfer money from point A to point B, it generally shows up in at point B in a very short period of time. It'll be reflected on your other statement. But behind the scenes, that is not truly what's happened. So there's still a multi-day settlement process that happens when cash is moved around, even internally between branches.
So, Deb, what they're interested in doing is using blockchain technology that would allow there to be sort of instantaneous transfers, right, between bank to bank. So if I wanted to wire transfer you money, it looks like it's happening relatively instantaneously, but it's not. She's like, there's a lot of sort of back-channel settlements, right, for them to sort of prove how much money I had and different partners in this. Mm-hmm. And so this would essentially sort of free up the system, make it better in terms of finding fewer errors. There's one other quick example I want to bring up to you. It's an interesting project for how this is being used. A startup called Everledger that's using this blockchain to identify data on millions of individual diamonds. So they're tracking more than 40 features in a diamond. This would be the cut, the color, the quality. And the thinking is that they can help jewelers trace and track blood diamonds. It's a sort of global digital registry for diamonds. So I'm going to leave it there. I will say that I'm working on a sort of digital explainer for the web. That'll be up shortly, and you can sort of leaf through that to sort of better understand what exactly blockchain is and why you should care.
Okay. Thanks so much, Asma.
You're welcome.
Asma Khalid leads our new business and technology team, Bostonomics. You can follow them on Twitter at BostonOMIX. We want to take a moment now to congratulate Sydney Chafee. She won the National Teacher of the Year Award today. Chafee's a humanities teacher at Codman Academy Charter Public School in Dorchester. She was among four finalists from California, Maryland, and Wisconsin. Chafee spoke with Radio Boston's Meghna Chakrabarty in January when she was named a finalist, and she told us then about how she didn't even turn to teaching until after college.
You know, looking back now, I can sort of see it. You know, I was bossy and I like to learn things. And so I wanted...
Well, let's rephrase that and call it you were a natural leader.
There it is. No, I wanted to be a writer. So I went to Sarah Lawrence College to be a poet. And one of my mentors there was Lita Sizer, who is the daughter of Ted Sizer, great education reformer. And so she sort of started to introduce me to this world of progressive education. And I started doing some reading. So I never studied education in college, not until I went to grad school. And then, you know, I realized very quickly, oh, this is what I love. This is my passion. I'm good at it. And how wonderful to have a job where I feel really good every day and I feel really excited about what I'm doing and I'm constantly learning.
And that inspiration, Chafee told us, came from her mother.
When I started kindergarten, my mother went back to college. She had left school to be a mom, and she'd stayed home with my sister for 5 years, and then I was born. She stayed home with me for 5 years, so she'd been out of school for 10 years. I was in kindergarten, and I was learning how to read and write, and she was getting her degree. And then she didn't stop there. She went on and got a master's. She started working toward a doctorate. So my whole childhood growing up, my mother was either a student or a teacher. And so I came up in this house of really strong women with the understanding that to be educated and to know things was truly valuable and was powerful. So one of the things that I'm excited about with this whole journey that I'm on is being able to have my own daughter see that. You know, she's only two, but I'm so proud of the fact that she will be able to look back and know that her mother did these things while being a mom. That's really special to me.
Sydney Chafee, congratulations on the National Teacher of the Year Award today. We'll be back after a break. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.